Why is it a mistake? Single girls don't go to places like this. They still will go with the company. They will go or with the boyfriend or with husband or with, like, I don't know.
Biggest reason that the trip is going to suck versus be cool is who you meet and what you do. Girls care if you're going to be there for a long period of time because they like you. And if you're not, well, she's not going to hug up with you. So you're going to cock-block yourself.
Definitely.
Now, here's the biggest mistake of all is he went back. He wanted to try again. Because, of course, now he's invested time. Might as well go again, right?
Better stay in one place, meet a lot of girls, invite them.
Have her come to you. Whatever you do, don't stay with her. Book your own place. Mm-hmm. Obligation kills desire, right? If she, at any point, feels obligated to see you, it's going to kill the desire. You're paying to procrastinate and to do nothing.
And get more depressed.
To get more depressed.
Yes.
Please, for the love of God, if you're single...
Don't do this.
Don't do it! Welcome to the Leverage Podcast, where we give you men's dating advice that doesn't suck. I'm your host, Robbie Kramer, a personal growth junkie and dating coach for over 15 years. Tune in each week to learn the latest and greatest strategies to get more dates, make yourself more attractive and confident with the opposite sex in order to meet your perfect 10 and design a lifestyle that makes all your buddies jealous. If you're a regular listener and digging our content, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you listen or watch this. But if you don't feel like it's worthy of 5 stars, just go ahead, don't leave any review at all. That'd be great. If you're new to the show, I recommend you download our free dating protocol. It'll help you optimize your first dates, second dates, third dates, have more fun, and get the results you want. I like to connect with my listeners personally, so if you want to grab that download and just say hi, send me a DM on Instagram. My handle is Robbie_Kramer. That's RobbieKramer. Before we dive into this week's content, I want to let you guys know we've opened up a few spots in our exclusive mastermind program called the Leverage Group. We're accepting applications if you want to join our select group of men and experience a radical power of accountability, stop procrastinating on your goals, cross everything off your sexual bucket list, and become a beast who gets more stuff done. To learn more and apply, go to innerconfidence.com/leverage. So let's dive into the content. One of the biggest mistakes I made as a single man was choosing the wrong type of travel decisions. I wasted thousands of dollars, a ton of time with these poor choices. So that's the topic of this week's show. It's how to avoid these mistakes and learn what to do instead. And we have the lovely Maria here, who will serve as co-host for this episode. Maria's traveled to about 20 countries, and she's also my wife. So... In this episode, we'll talk about where you should go and where you shouldn't go, when you should travel solo versus travel with a partner or a wingman or a girl. I guess that's weird. A partner would... A wingman versus a girl. If you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, how to recruit a travel wingman, and when you should travel with a girl. And my inspiration for making this podcast or this episode was really from a question that was posted last week in our Leverage Discord server. And that was a question from Jason. And he says, "Hey guys, I'm trying to plan a little getaway from LA, being depressed for the holidays. Ha ha ha. I'm looking at traveling down to Mexico for a bit. I've been to Cancun and Tulum, definitely wanting to do elsewhere, considering Mexico City, maybe Playa del Carmen and some other spots. Thoughts, recommendations?" So when I first saw this question, I immediately shook my head and I was like, oh my God, there's so much wrong with this. And here's my response to him. So I said, "Hey man, you might have me beat in the travel department as far as places you've been to." You know, he's probably been to 75 plus countries. I've been to somewhere around 60. But I definitely have you beat in the hooking up while traveling category, which is much more highly correlated with the quality of experience. I've also seen all the cool shit too, but it's really not that cool. Memories are made with experiences with cool people, not seeing sights. All of my best travel memories are doing cool shit with close friends or hooking up with foreign, interesting women. Sure, I've met some awesome guys while traveling too, which have led to amazing friendships. But that has always been as a result of being solo, chasing skirt, and meeting other skirt chasers in the process. So if you're going to go specifically to a place to meet women, pick only the best places if you're solo, or pick a second tier option if you have an awesome travel companion. I would never go anywhere where I knew zero people. Well, I would almost, almost never go anywhere where I knew zero people. I would only go somewhere new with someone I knew who's 100% down to create a travel itinerary identical to mine. I'm not going to travel to hook up with girls with a guy who wants to go to museums with the logic, I'll go hit on girls at museums and it'll work out great. Because he wants to do the museums art, obviously. That's a recipe for a huge problem. And I said, you're all plugged into a network of dudes here who are traveling and on the same page. And even entertaining the idea of going somewhere alone would be a huge miscue. I could go on, but remember, the idea is to start looking at the things you do and the decisions you make through this lens. Does this fit with my goals? Does it provide the faster form of growth? And does it make financial sense? Or are there better options? So we're going to cover in this podcast the four or five biggest mistakes guys make while traveling, where to go, where not to go, and a bunch of other cool stuff. So, you know, the first thing to talk about is why travel anyways. Obviously, if you're a single guy, you should be focusing on building your empire, right? Like, that means making money, meeting women, building your dating funnels, going on dates, and building your social circle. And if you're doing anything else, right, like besides these fundamental core opportunities, then you're not really growing anything, right? And when you travel, if you leave, all of that stuff gets put on hold, right? And I'm not against taking a vacation somewhere, but if you're going to take a vacation, if you're going to spend the time and the money, at least make it count. So really, that's what we're going to be talking about. So my first question for you, my lovely...
I'm just being beautiful here.
Well, you are, but...
I can speak.
Yes, you can speak. Nice. You're not just a cardboard cutout. So tell us a little bit about your experience traveling when you've been single. Like, who have you traveled with? Where and what did you notice about guys who were also single and traveling and trying to meet you?
Mostly I travel with my girlfriends and sometimes with my boyfriends. And I would never agree to go on the date with some random guy abroad because... you understand that you're living in 3 days and only he wants us to fuck you, and that's all. That's why for not party type of girls, like, you don't want to meet guy who is a foreigner, or you are a foreigner in summer.
So for a girl like you who's not interested in hooking up while traveling, right, you're not interested in those guys?
No, of course not.
Okay. Well, what about your friends? Are they typically like you, or are they more like, oh, I want to go somewhere and meet a hot guy and hook up with a hot guy?
I mean, I have a lot of girlfriends who want to go meet guys just to fuck, but they're just different girls. And
do those girls typically look for guys who are local to where they're traveling to, or they look for other guys who are traveling, or it doesn't matter?
No, mostly they look for locals, because locals at least can show them around, invite them to good places, and because they know everything there.
Right. So that's really the mistake number one, and that is, if you're traveling somewhere, the odds of you hooking up with another girl who's traveling are much lower than the odds of you hooking up with a local, right? But if you're traveling, would a local girl want to hook up with you? And the answer is usually not. Like, if a guy came to Ukraine when you were living there, and you knew he was a tourist, would you hook up with that guy?
Never. I never even speak with tourists when they approach me. No, I would hook up with someone who I know live there for year or two and will continue living.
So that's the mistake, guys. Is if you're traveling somewhere and you're trying to hook up, don't say you're leaving soon. And every guy makes this mistake. I can't tell you how many times I made it, because you're killing all possibility of any sort of future except for a random hookup, and you know, that's a very small population of women who are actually looking for that, right? Like, unless they're on vacation and you're meeting at like a travel destination somewhere, don't say you're leaving soon. Like, always stretch the truth a little bit on this and just say, yeah, I'm thinking about moving here. That's not a lie, right? Maybe you would move there. Like, the first time I went to Ukraine, for the first few days, I was like, yeah, I'm just traveling here, and I was getting no love. Like, basically, girls would ask me, and I was like, all right, I'm not gonna say that anymore. That's dumb. I'm going to say I'm considering moving here. And guess what? I did end up moving there. So it wasn't a lie, right? It's because if you don't say that, you're killing all future possibilities. So for the love of God, stop, if you're traveling, telling people that you're a traveler. Like, it's not cool to be a digital nomad. no girl's going to think you're cool because you're a guy who, like, you know, perpetually follows the summer and has your laptop, unless she's a digital nomad. If you find out she's that too, then cool. But other girls don't think that's cool. This whole idea of, like, oh, I'm this cool digital nomad, blah, 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 I'm a traveler. No one gives a fuck, right? Girls care if you're going to be there for a long period of time because they like you. And if you're not, well, she's not going to hook up with you. So you're going to cock block yourself.
Definitely.
I mean, it's just so dumb how many guys do that. Like, I'm sure if you're listening to this and you've done it, you know, punch yourself in the face. Not too hard. Just once. And hopefully you'll remember. Travel mistake number two is going to visit a girl that you haven't slept with in hopes of sleeping with her.
Oh, no. But thank you. Don't do this.
How many guys do this? All of them. How many times have I done it? Many times. It's so bad. All right. So just to tell you a recent story, one of the guys in the group, we'll call him Chuck. Chuck was traveling.
Let's call him Dick.
Well, Chuck is, you know, Chuck's better. It's more likely to be closer to his name. Richard Dick the Traveler. So Chuck's been a member of Leverage for about 9 months or so. He was around like a purple belt level, which meant he was capable of like going to a random city, doing a bunch of day game, and setting up ongoing casual relationships. He could build like a rotation of women wherever he went to. And that was kind of what he was doing. He was in Berlin for a while. And then one of the other guys in the group decided to go to Belgrade, Serbia. So Chuck decided, all right, I'm going to go with this other guy to Belgrade, Serbia, and we're going to run around for, you know, a couple months and meet a bunch of girls. So that's what they did. And he met one girl in particular in Belgrade. She was from, she was originally Russian, but visiting Belgrade and living in London. So I think she comes from money. And she was, you know, they're both basically hanging out in Belgrade, but they didn't bang. They made out. They went on a few dates. She went back to London. He went back to Berlin after about a month and a half of him traveling in Belgrade. So what did Chuck do? Well, he called me on one of our coaching calls and he said, I want to go visit this girl in London. And I said, have you slept with her? He said, no. And I said, don't go. He said, why? First, you're on her home turf, right? Like, where are you going to go? Are you going to stay with her? Are you going to get a hotel? Like, are you going to take her out on dates? Because it's her hometown. She's got friends there. You have no one there. Like, she's got the home court advantage and you don't. But he still wanted to go because she had invited him to stay at her place. But then about a week, and he also said, oh, well, I have this other reason to go. I have some family to visit in London. I'm like, come on, man. It's not worth it. But I couldn't stop him. He wanted to go anyways. So he ended up going. And he got his own place. Her family was staying at her place, so that was making it difficult. And he spent 3 days there, and they didn't have sex.
So, why? Why did it happen? Oh my god!
So shocking, right? So now he probably spent like, I don't know, maybe let's call it $800 on the tickets, a round trip from Berlin to London. He spent, you know, a couple $100 a night on lodging, money on food and that sort of thing, which he probably would have spent anyways in Berlin. But let's say conservatively, maybe he spent $1,000, right? That's a lot to not get laid. Like, he went to get laid, but he didn't get laid. And while he was gone, right, all the other girls that he was dating in Berlin, you know, he couldn't hang out with them. He couldn't meet new girls. He couldn't build a social circle. So you get it. Now, here's the biggest mistake of all is he went back. He wanted to try again. Because, of course, now he's invested time. Might as well go again, right? She tells him this time, oh, you can definitely stay with me. So he's thinking, oh, yeah, for sure thing. I told him again, still, you shouldn't go, but he went anyways. And guess what happened? When he showed up, or the day before going, he found out that her parents, again, were staying at her place, so he couldn't stay there. He had to book a last-minute hotel and spend way more money, and the same thing happened. He didn't hook up. Now he's out, $2,500. Worst of all, he left his laptop in the security on one of the connecting flights, and he had to go back and get it. And it reminds me of another story where I did a similar thing. So there was this one girl that I really liked. She was Israeli. We had been, like, you know, talking for a long time. We met in New York. We'd kissed a bunch of times, but maybe a couple times. And I really wanted to hook up with her. But I, you know, that never happened. She was a flight attendant. So she suggested that we meet in Amsterdam.
I know the story till then.
She suggested we meet in Amsterdam. I was living in Kiev at the time. I wasn't living there. Sorry, I was already traveling. I was spending like a month and a half, 2 months in Kiev that summer. And, she's a flight attendant. She got free flights. So she said, I have a free hotel room. I have a layover for the night in Amsterdam. Come meet me. I'm like, all right, great. This is awesome. I'm going to go and fly in just for the night, stay in the hotel room. It's free. We'll hook up and everything will be great. So I went out and partied the night before and with Igor.
Not surprising.
And I took home a girl and then we hooked up. At 5 a.m., my alarm went off. She's still in my bed and I've got to go to the airport. And she's like, where are you going? And I'm like, shit, I got to go to like Amsterdam on business. But at that point, I didn't even want to leave because I had this new girl there. And she was like, it's my birthday. You're going to leave me? I'm like, just stay in the bed. Just stay here. I'll be back in less than 24 hours, which was true. So she stayed in the Airbnb and I left Amsterdam. Got to Amsterdam. The first thing I did with the new girl was we went and we decided to get some magical mushrooms, which are easy to get in Amsterdam. They sell them at the coffee shops. Problem was those mushrooms turned out to be
expired
or something. We both got incredibly sick and we spent the entire day not just tripping, but like vomiting and things were coming out of both ends. All day, all night. Our flight was... Her flight out, my flight out, we're both at like 6 or 7 a.m. the next morning. So, of course, we didn't hook up. And all we did was we got sick. And it turned into a huge disaster.
Nice.
And when I was boarding my flight back to Kiev to go visit the girl who was waiting for me in my bed, I left my laptop in airport security. And I realized when I was getting on the plane that I didn't have my laptop. So I ran back to security, got the laptop, missed the flight. And then instead of going back to Kiev, I had only had like 3 more days there anyways. I was just like, screw it. I booked a flight back to the U.S. and that was the end of my trip. So it just goes to show that whenever you make this huge like investment to go and have sex with a girl by traveling, you're just asking for karma to, fuck you over. It's like it's such a thirsty thing to do that it almost never works out. I've had so many situations where it just, you end up putting so much pressure on the situation by like going there to hook up. She feels the pressure and all that pressure ruins the sex or it just makes the sex not happen. So that's the big, so if you're in that situation, like don't do that. Like get her to come to you, right? Or at least, maybe meet in the middle or just wait. Like there will be a better situation. Like you shouldn't go traveling to hook up with girls. It's just a really bad, dumb way to waste money. Any thoughts on that?
No, I agree. Better stay in one place, meet a lot of girls, invite them.
Have her come to you.
Yeah.
Be on your home turf. And that leads me to another story. So when I was on Birthright Israel, which was a free trip that you get to take if you're Jewish, to Israel.
I still want to take, can I?
Yeah, once you convert, baby. So I was 26. Most of the people there were in their mid-20s. And the security guard on our trip was like this young, really good-looking Israeli guy. His name was Yoni. And Yoni...
That's Yoni that they know?
No.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God.
So Yoni proceeded to hook up with the hottest girl on our trip, right? He had status being the young, hot Israeli security guard in the military. And forget this girl's name. Maybe it was Sarah. Let's call her Sarah. So they were hooking up the whole trip. And everyone thought like they were going to get married or something. But a few months later, she lived in Chicago. He obviously lived in Tel Aviv. He went to visit her in Chicago. And the only plan was basically for him to stay with her for like, I think, a week and a half, 2 weeks. The logic was, well, he's traveling all the way from Israel to the U.S. He shouldn't just come for a short period of time. He should come for at least a week, right? So the first few days were okay. By the end of the week, we kind of all had our WhatsApp thread. By the end of the week, she was saying, like, this guy sucks. He has a small dick. I'm so disappointed he's visiting. I can't wait to get rid of him. Like, it turned from these people are going to get married to, like, he has a small dick, I can't stand him, and I can't wait for him to leave. Well, why is that? Any ideas? I mean, she already knew the size of his dick when they were in when they were in Israel. Like, why do you think it changed? What are your thoughts?
I think that week it's too much.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
It's her zone of comfort, and she can do whatever she wants.
So, what you do when you go to visit a girl, and you're staying in her place, around her environment, on her home turf, is you're putting her into her masculine frame, right? She's got to make decisions for you guys. She has to entertain you. You're her guest. And no girl who has a feminine characteristic, or who has a kind of like a feminine nature about her, who's looking for a masculine man, wants to make those decisions. You know, she putting her into her masculine does not make her attracted to you or horny for you. It makes the opposite happen. And that's exactly what happened here. She was like, I feel like I'm babysitting him. He doesn't, like, we don't have, he's not planning anything. He's not, like, taking me out. It's, I'm showing him
around.
He
doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything, exactly.
Yeah, he cannot plan.
He can't. Like, so that's a mistake, is going to visit a girl in her city, even if you have banged her. Even if you guys are, like, unless you're already in a relationship, don't do it. Like, these situations are always what get guys in trouble, is when they've already hooked up somewhere in a mutual, like, you know, somewhere else, like in Israel, for example, on his home turf, or they met somewhere and they hooked up. Have her come to you, or go to somewhere that's not on her home turf. Whatever you do, for the first time traveling with a girl, don't go to her city, because odds are it's going to go really poorly. And I'm sure there's situations where it hasn't, especially like some guys in the group will say, oh, I'm really going to do this. It's fine. I'm like, all right, well, whatever you do, don't stay with her. Book your own place. That way she can stay with you when she wants. She's not going to feel obligated. And I want to keep going back to that word obligation. Obligation kills desire, right? If she at any point feels obligated to see you, it's going to kill the desire. And if she's in her hometown and she's hot, she's going to be constantly getting invitations to do other things. So if you're there for a long period of time, you're just going to be like cramping her style, because she's going to get other cool things to do, and she might not want to bring you to all those things. So, like, don't stay more than 3 days, no matter where you go.
Yeah, it's good.
Right? 3 days is the max. And don't go to her home turf. So here's another situation. One of the guys in the group, we'll call him E. So E wanted to go meet a girl that he'd hooked up with in Colombia, in Mexico City.
I even know who it can be.
Yeah. He wanted to meet this girl in Mexico City. She lived in Colombia, and he wanted to meet and hang out with her for a week over New Year's. And my advice to him is, like, why the fuck would you go for a week, bro? A week. You know how long that is to be with someone that you've hooked up with, but you're not in a relationship with?
A lot.
That's forever. Forever. Like, you're going to get bored of it, right? And even if you don't, you're setting this precedent where every single time you hang out after that has got to be like a week. And within a week, like, if you hang out with someone for a week straight, you're basically like in love with that person. So now you're going to have to deal with a breakup. So if you're going to travel to meet a girl, make it 3 nights tops. Better 3 days, 2 nights, right? Like, give yourself the gift of missing that person and allowing for that relationship to continue. Like, it can be awesome to have these kind of like fuck buddies who live around the world, and you see them for a hot weekend, like once every 2 months. Like, if you're trying to remain like a single guy and you have the problem of you jump into relationships too soon, that's a great way to build like a rotation of girls where you can use that distance to keep things casual. But don't stay with her for a week, because you're going to ruin it. You're going to screw everything up. Luckily, the trip didn't work out, so he couldn't go. But
right.
It was very difficult to talk him to talk him out of that. So let's talk about travel mistake number three. And that's taking a vacation alone when you're already lonely. And that's kind of going back to the initial question that Jason asked, which is, you know, I'm thinking I want to go somewhere for the holidays because holidays are a tough time and I'm lonely. Should I go to Playa del Carmen? Because I've been to these other places in Mexico and I've heard Playa del Carmen is good.
But what will he do there
alone? He's going to do nothing.
Does he have...
Because guess what? He's already...
Does he have friends there?
No, he knows nobody there. Right?
No, it's useless.
So let's see. So first you have to ask yourself, well, what are you already doing? He lives in LA. He's not day gaming. He's not really meeting a lot of people while out. He's meeting some people online, right? And he's using online dating,
mm-hmm.
and that's his primary source of leads. So what do you think he's going to do when he's on vacation over New Year's in Playa del Carmen? Well, he's going to get on Tinder and he's going to try his luck there, right? And if it's going to be even harder because he's always going to have the excuse, well, I'm on vacation, right? So I'm not actually going to try to like do other things that I should like, oh, I should go day gaming. Yeah, I should really go. Yeah, I'm on vacation. I'm not going to do it. Or, you know, I should do this other thing I don't want to do. I'm on vacation. So you're always going to use the I'm on vacation excuse to procrastinate. And if you're already procrastinating at home, now you're paying top dollar to go somewhere expensive. Well, not that Playa is expensive, but you still got to get there and you got to pay for hotels and you got to pay for stuff. So it is expensive, even though it's a cheap place.
Mm-hmm.
But you're paying to procrastinate and to do nothing.
And get more depressed.
To get more depressed.
Yes.
Literally, that's what you're paying for. And that's the thing I see all another guy who recently I talked to, he was like, yeah, I've got this time off holidays. I get 2 weeks off from work. I'm deciding where to go. I'm like, who are you traveling with? Alone. I don't have any wingmen. Bro, don't go anywhere. Why the fuck would you go somewhere? Like, what cool shit is going to happen when you have no life at home? What the fuck's going to happen when you go somewhere? You're going to magically just start like approaching girls there? Probably not. It's not like you have friends there who are going to invite you to anything. You're just going to go and just do the same shit and be more depressed and out more money. So please, for the love of God, if you're single,
don't do this.
Don't do it. So let's see. Now, especially if you're like, oh no, well, I really want to go to Thailand to see the big Buddha. Nah.
Useless.
You don't want to see the big Buddha. You want to bang a hot girl and then go see the big Buddha with her, right? So if you're already like a day game crusher and you know you could show up to Thailand, do a bunch of approaches, go out at night and meet a bunch of local girls because your game is strong and you want to travel alone, okay, that's
fine. Isn't it better to go with the wingman?
Of course. Much better.
It's easier because you can kind of push each other to approach girls. And
the best trip I ever did was me and my buddy rented a car in Barcelona, Spain. And it was just me and him for like a month and a half. And we did a lap around almost the entire Europe. So it went from Barcelona to Paris to Brussels to Hamburg to Poland, down to Budapest, Croatia, Slovenia, Italy, Monaco, and then back to France. Maybe we did a giant lap. And guess what we did? Well, the first week and a half when we were in Barcelona and Paris, we were on Tinder a lot. And actually, I don't even know if Tinder was working at that time. Might've been like Plenty of Fish. We were basically trying to use online dating sites because we were both kind of rusty. We hadn't been approaching a lot and we weren't having a lot of fun. We were like going out at night and it was tough. We were competing with the locals and Spain is difficult. We just weren't getting much love in Spain. Finally, when we got to like Brussels, I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to start day gaming. And then when I did, that inspired him. And then by the time the rest of the trip, we were just day gaming all day, going out at night. And, you know, I ended up hooking up with quite a few girls that summer. It was awesome.
Congratulations.
But that was an amazing trip, not because of the cool shit I saw. Like, we saw some awesome shit. We went to Auschwitz and that wasn't awesome, but we saw the concentration camps. Like, obviously we didn't do that with girls. We weren't hitting on girls at Auschwitz, I promise. But we did make a joke. Maybe we should. I'm Jewish. He was Jewish. So, you know, we did those cultural experiences, but we also had a ton of fun. And we did all the other like touristic experiences with cute local girls. And we didn't say we were just going there for, you know, a few days. We were like, yeah, we're thinking about moving here. And then they'd show us around. And then I think on two occasions, I met a girl in one city, ended up leaving. And then I flew her in to another city that we were seeing later on the trip. And even though I was leaving, it didn't matter, right? Like if you tell a girl you're thinking about moving here, she'll be like, okay, well, there is some value in hooking up with him. Maybe he's going to, maybe not, but there is a potential future going back to that. So that was definitely the best trip that I ever took as a single guy with an awesome wingman, going and making it our priority to meet women, because I was willing to be honest that was what was going to make the trip awesome, was meeting someone cool, right? Like, I mean, you tell me, when girls travel and they're single and alone, like, what's better, like seeing cool shit or hooking up with a hot guy?
Seeing cool shit.
For you.
For me. Why do I need guy? I will never see him again. What's the value in it? At least when it's in your city.
Yeah.
You know?
But you can get laid whenever you want, so.
Yeah. I don't care about some dudes.
Yeah. It's not that great. So, All right, so let's say you do have good game, right? We're going to talk about now about where to go and where not to go. So let's say you have good game, you've got an Australian accent, you got a six pack. Where should you go?
Australian?
No, he's already from Australia. So
no, I ask Australian.
Australian, yeah. Where should that guy go? Or where shouldn't he go?
Maybe he need to go somewhere where he is unique.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't care where he will go.
You have game. You're a jacked, hot Australian dude. You can go anywhere you want. Because everywhere speaks English. Everyone's going to think your accent's so hot. Blah, blah, blah. You can fucking go anywhere you want. You're going to crush. You're not probably listening to this podcast. If you are, good on you, mate. You'll do fine.
Put
anywhere.
Shrimp on something.
Put another shrimp on the bobby.
It's hilarious. I know.
But if you're a tall, sorry, if you're a tall, jacked, tan Australian guy with game but with no money, where should you go? Well, you should go to places that are cheap, of course. Go to South America, go to Eastern Europe, right? If you try to go to New York City and compete against some of the locals there, you're going to have a tougher time, of course. But that's so, if you're in good shape, you can kind of go anywhere you want, right? That's the beauty of being in really good shape. You can go to these sort of like hookup places in like Southeast Asia, like Thailand, like Bali, the Philippines. Like when you're in really good shape and you go to these places that are tropical where it's always summer, your fashion is having your shirt off, right? So if you're in good shape, you have ultimate fashion and you're going to do well in those environments. Now, for me, I was, you know, especially before when I was a little bit more chubby, even now, I'm not going to do so well in Bali, in Thailand.
You won't, you're married.
Well, of course, but I'm saying like before, and if I was single, I wouldn't do as well because I'm not in as great of shape and I'm competing against those local Aussie guys because it's in their backyard. Right? Southeast Asia is like the backyard. It's like the Mexico of Australia, right? So very difficult to compete against those guys. And Australians travel a ton. So maybe I'm just...
I think you'll compete with any guy.
Yeah, of course. You're going to compete with any guy. But...
No, but you're better.
Oh, thanks, Bobby. Jeez. So yeah, you're going to compete with any guy. So if, like, let's say you're an IT programmer, you're 33 years old, you know, you make $150,000 a year, where should you go? You should go to a city that has opportunities for day game, a decent sort of nightlife, somewhere that's not like a top sort of tier one city where you're competing against really like tough local guys. So like, don't go to London, don't go to Paris, don't go to New York. You know, go to Warsaw, Poland, go to Krakow, Poland. Go to Medellin, Colombia. Go to Cartagena, Colombia. Don't go, like, you could go to Rio, but better than Rio, go to, like, Belo Horizonte, Brazil. Right? Go to Florianopolis, Brazil. Like, don't go to the big tier one cities because it's just too much competition. You can go to some of these smaller places, a little off the beaten path, where you get a little bit more love just because you're foreign or you're American. You know, that's one benefit of being an American is...
But if he's not American...
Who? The guy I'm talking to?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Doesn't really change a whole lot. I'm just saying if you're American, a lot of people, depending on where you go, are like, it's kind of cool that you're American. Or
no one cares.
If you go to Western Europe, they're going to think you're a loser because you're American.
No one cares.
Because those people are annoying. Well, depends on where you are. Depends on where you are. I got a lot of love in Ukraine by being American. Obviously, I'd say go to Ukraine, but now it's not a great idea. Unless you're very risk loving. So where else is good to go? Let's see. So one thing that came up recently in the group was the best place in the world. So one of the guys has been to, I think, 113 countries. We'll call him Ferdinand.
I know.
Franz Ferdinand has been to 113 countries. He's originally Brazilian. He's like about 40. He's like 43 years old.
Really good looking.
He's not really good looking.
I like how he looks.
You like how he's, but he's not like a stereotypical good-looking guy.
No,
he's not bad-looking. He's bald.
He's like a nice man.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, we'll give him a 7.
Yeah, but we're not speaking about.
No, he's a good case study.
I don't like really good-looking guys. They look bad.
That's your personal preference. Okay. Really good-looking guys look bad. What are you talking about?
They're just like so feminine to me.
Okay, well, I want
to be
feminine. That's a different conversation. We're talking about a 43-year-old smart, CEO type. Give him a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10. So he's not like he's going to be, and he's 43. So he's not like, girls aren't going to be like, I traveled to hook up with this guy, right? He doesn't have that appeal, right? But he does have good game, and he's not afraid to approach, and he's really good at meeting people. And his recommendation was Tokyo or Osaka, Japan. He said, just walk to any Irish pub, rally the solo gringos drinking alone, and go out for a crazy club night. Easiest place to hook up at night. He said, I would skip Europe for now during winter, but happy to give my hit list for the summer. And his hit list for the summer was Colombia, starting in Bogota. Best if you speak Spanish, easy to meet girls, friend zone some. Costa Rica, look for Selena's hostels and get a private room. Go to Tulum, sign up for a yoga retreat. So any, like, again, South America, in the winter, in the Northern Hemisphere, you want to go somewhere where it's warm, which is the Southern Hemisphere, right? So go to South America. In the summer, you want to go to Eastern Europe, Central Europe. And, you know, if you're in really good shape, then I would recommend checking out Southeast Asia. Just know, you know, the competition's stiff over there. Hardest place for me ever to get laid traveling was Israel. I thought going as like a, you know, Jewish American, I'd get a lot of love from the local Jewish Israeli girls, but that wasn't the case. Israeli guys are very masculine. They've all been in the army.
2 years and girls. It's crazy.
3 years for men, 2 years for girls.
2 years for girls.
And oh my God, Israeli girls can be crazy bitchy. Like, they won't even look at you if you approach them.
They can beat you up.
Yeah.
That if they don't like something.
I went on Birthright. I didn't get laid. That was for a 10-day trip. Then I went again for 2 weeks. I didn't get laid. I'm almost 0 for a month trying to hook up in Israel. So Australia was very difficult for me too, especially because I was pretty overweight at the time.
I think it's only because you were overweight.
No, I mean, I hooked up with one girl in 2 weeks, but it was tough. Australians are, again, tough to compete with. I would say Israel and Australia are the hardest places because there's a lot of the local competition is strong. Aussie guys are typically very boisterous or very alpha. Obviously, not all of them, but in general, the standard sort of Australian guy that you're going to meet out in the bar club scene is going to be more that guy. And like I said, already in Israel. So travel mistake. I think we're on travel mistake number 4. And that is going on a cruise or to an all-inclusive type of resort. That is a huge mistake, because guess who goes on cruises?
I know.
Yeah?
Why is it the mistake? Single girls don't go to places like this.
Exactly.
They don't have money. I mean, unless they're really rich, but they still will go with the company. They will go or with the boyfriend or with husband or with, like, I don't know, a lot of girls.
Yep.
But
they're not going.
You won't meet like a single young girl there.
Right.
Alone.
So does that mean you should go to hostels? Like, what should you do if you're traveling with a buddy? You know, and you're not going to an all-inclusive place. You're not going on a cruise unless it's a singles cruise, like the Groove Cruise or one of these like EDM cruises. Those can be cool. Because that's a bunch of single party people. That's a different story. But should you stay in the hostels? What do you think?
I think yes, because a lot of girls who wants to travel and they don't have so much money, they stay in hostels.
Hostels can be great.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably splurge and get single rooms. Like, don't stay in the dormitory rooms, because then you just look like a broke dick loser. And no girl's going to hook up with you in a dormitory room unless she's really wasted and she's probably not that hot. So I wouldn't recommend that. But hostels can be great. They have social environments. They have, like, activities almost every night. And usually have a lively bar. Hostel World is a good search engine to go. There's also Couch Surfing and Show Around, which are two good apps for hosting travelers when they're coming to you. Like, I created an account on showaround.com when I was living in Kiev, and girls would message me because they saw my profile, and they'd ask me to show them around the city. So that was a great way to meet people. And then obviously I had my places on Couch Surfing. So no matter where you live, put your place on Couch Surfer and you can filter for attractive women to come to you.
It's actually my friend from university. She found a guy like this in Paris when she was traveling with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're dating for like 3 or 4 years.
There you go. On CouchSurfer.com?
CouchSurfing.com? It's funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some travel hacking tips. Always travel with a power bank. You'll never know when you're going to lose power, need something. Always travel with at least $500 worth of cash. I had a buddy who actually traveled to Crimea. This was like 2 years ago. It was Gustavo. He went to Crimea? He went to Crimea.
Oh my God.
And there's no ATMs that dispense like foreign currency there, especially not dollars. And there was no banks he could get money. He had to like get, he had to ask his close friends like me to like Western Union him money because he had so much money on his cards. He could just couldn't pull it out. Like ATMs didn't work. And you never know. There could be a power outage. There could be other things where just like your online banking, your crypto wallet, all that stuff doesn't work. So you always need cash. You know, you don't want to get stuck in a taxi. They don't take credit card. You have no cash and they beat you up. Right. So always have cash. And I'd recommend 500. Don't travel with expensive watches or shit that can get stolen. You know, Joel, our golfing buddy, he was on the first leg of that trip that we took to Europe in Spain. And he was wearing like a $10,000 Rolex, and one night drunk, some guy like took it off his wrist. He didn't even know.
Oh my God.
Especially in a place like Spain where petty theft is.
And you remember who also had a part in his place and someone stole his 50K watches. Remember?
Yep. I remember who.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're having a party in your own place, lock your shit. Don't travel with expensive watches. Like, you know, most traveling girls who are young and looking to hook up aren't going to see your Rolex and give a shit either. So the benefit does not outweigh the cost there. What I'd recommend if you're planning on doing a lot of travel, don't use your current provider and pay roaming fees because you're going to get destroyed with international data and it's going to be really slow and shitty. If you plan to travel quite a bit, or even if you just want a good plan, I would switch to Google Fi. Google Fi allows you to use roaming when you're in those places, and it doesn't charge you extra, and it doesn't throttle your speeds. And Google Fi is a decent plan here in the U.S. The only problem I encountered was after using Google Fi for like 3 months abroad, they cut me off because I was costing them money.
I remember.
And it was a pain in the ass because they wouldn't let me activate my account until I got back to the U.S. So the thing is, get Google Fi, but if you're ever going to stay someplace longer than a week, get a local SIM and use the local SIM for your data. And it's going to be just as cheap that way anyways.
Got that SIM card that works in several countries in EU.
Yeah, that was a Vodafone SIM card. If you're traveling through EU, you can get a Vodafone one that'll work in most of the EU.
Yeah.
But yeah, so use Google Fi. If you're going to stay longer than a week, get a local SIM. And the Google Fi SIM card is a SIM-less card, or it's an e-card. It's an e-SIM. So you still have room for another SIM in your phone. Any other thing? Oh, and then lastly, and my other recommendation is if you're going to travel somewhere as a single guy, you should go for as long as you possibly can, right? Don't go somewhere for a week. Don't jump around. I was just on a coaching call with a guy, and he's like, yeah, my plan over New Year's is like, I'm going to go to Thailand, but I'm going to go to Koh Phi Phi, Koh Samui, Koh Phangan, Bangkok, and Krabi in like a 12-day period. I'm like, well, what are you going to do there, man? Every beach in Thailand looks pretty similar. There's not that much cool shit you need to do. You're probably wanting to go hook up with a girl, right? And he's like, yeah, right? So don't pick one or two places. Give yourself time to actually like meet girls, and you might have to take them on a few dates. Like, you'll have fun with the girl. Like, don't jump around every few days because you're just killing your game. Like, it's so dumb. That's what everyone does because they book these trips and like, oh, I want to see this place and this place and this place. But they're forgetting the biggest reason that the trip is going to suck versus be cool is who you meet and what you do. If you stay somewhere for a longer period of time, you meet cool people, you get started, get invited to cool shit, you meet locals, hook up with a girl. If you're moving every 2 days, you got no chance. So don't do that. And lastly, so if you do travel a lot, you're interested in traveling, and if you're just wanting to not be an idiot, I guess, sign up for a points generating credit card. Go to thepointsguy.com, and they will tell you all the best travel related credit cards. You basically, every dollar you spend, you accumulate points, which you can use for travel and lodging. And we haven't really paid for a plane ticket in years because
I know it's great.
We buy everything on, like, you know, what's that card I have? The Chase.
Chase, yeah.
Not the preferred, the better one. Whatever. The Chase. I don't know. It's in my wallet. But the fuck's it called? Whatever. The Chase, the good one. Get that one. Gives you like 100,000 points when you sign up. At least it used to. And then you can use those for flights. Oh, it gives you $300 a year. You do have to pay for that one, $300 a year, but they reimburse the travel credit. Whatever. I'm not fucking a Chase. I'm not getting paid by Chase to do that.
So yeah, Chase, write us.
Yeah, Chase, you owe us now. Now, lastly, if you're even considering traveling alone because you have no one to travel with, join the Leverage Group. Because guess what?
And you'll have calls with me.
You'll have fucking awesome wingmen to travel with. And then you won't have to go anywhere alone. You won't have to make these dumb mistakes. Even if you're in the Leverage Group, I just made some case studies of guys who are still making some of these mistakes, but we're at least talking them off the ledge and hoping that they don't, right? But the benefit of being in that group is, you know, you're with a bunch of like-minded guys. You can travel together. You can set up events. So every 6 months we do an immersion. And an immersion is like the coolest travel experience ever. So we pick a city where there's one of our members who has the best social circle. So the last one we did was in Berlin. It was in May. And our client who lived there had a setup of like two different apartments where he had some Ukrainian refugees living there. So hot Ukrainian girls were already there, plugged into his social circle. So Maria and I came. She knew a model friend who was staying there. We invited another model friend to come and visit. And then three or four other guys from the group flew in, you know, a couple from the US, one from Western Europe. And we basically had a week-long party using our one guy's setup who lived in Berlin. We all went out and, you know, did day game, went out at night, cultivated a better party environment. And as the week went along, all the girls we were meeting, we were inviting them to more events. So it was really helping to build the guy's social circle who was already there. Mm-hmm. And all the girls who came were adding more social status and social proof to the whole experience, and I think almost everybody hooked up. Yeah, only one guy didn't hook up. Mm-hmm. And we had a pretty epic time. Everyone had a ton of growth. We were doing
yeah, it was amazing.
You know, of course, there's the standard boot camp stuff we did as well, like all the drills and all the inner game work, and but mainly it was just an awesome travel experience. So, you know, stop doing things the hard way. Stop doing things alone. Join a brotherhood.
You know what I like in our brotherhood? What's happening when guys try to fight approaching anxiety and they jump with each other on the call during the approaching? Can you talk about this? I think it's interesting.
Yeah, that's super cool. So if you're out and you're trying to approach women during the day and you're, you know, just running into anxiety, what you can do is you can jump on a call with one of the other guys from the group. You can jump on our just recording Zoom line. That way you have the recordings of the actual approaches. But while you're not approaching, you know, you're talking to your wingman and you say, oh, I see a girl, and he's going to say, go do it. You know? And if you don't do it, you don't want to look like a wuss in front of him while he's on the phone. So they end up approaching way more, and they just kind of leave they leave the phone on speaker. And then, you know, if they get the number, they're like, oh, they even say, like, they use that as their opening line. They'll like walk up to the girl and be like, hey, I was actually on a call with my friend. I'm still on the call, but I saw you and I thought you were really cute. I had to come meet you. Risk embarrassing myself, right? And then the entire time, the guy's listening and it's being recorded on our group call line.
And you're not that scared anymore. Exactly. Because you're with your buddy.
Yep. So
it's a good thing.
Yeah. So if you have any travel-related questions about the podcast, leave a comment, you know, like us, follow us, do all that good stuff. Send us a beer, buy us a free trip. Send us your firstborn child. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, baby.
See you.
Thanks
for helping out. I forgot how to speak English. That's why I tried to keep silent.
Без проблем. Я говорю по-русски.
Not русский, Ukrainian.
Да, тоже. Пока.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.